Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Now that's a striking sentence. It's not because Jesus somehow lacks the words or doesn't know what to say. It's certainly not because the disciples are somehow uninterested, but because there is something that they actually cannot bear. And what is it that they can't bear yet? Well, it's not hidden knowledge. It's not some secret doctrine waiting for a later age or golden plates to be discovered somewhere in the Northeast. It's not that Jesus' plans are to say something different than that which he has already said. What he is saying to his disciples is, you cannot bear. What is it? It's the cross. They cannot yet bear what it means that the Son of God, the Messiah, in whom they placed all of their earthly, temporal, and fleshly trust in just a little bit, is going to be handed over, condemned, mocked, crucified, dead, and buried. And this is the victory of God. They cannot yet bear that salvation will not come through strength or glory or visible triumph, but that salvation comes through suffering, weakness, and death. They can't bear that their own righteousness counts for nothing, and that they have to be saved entirely by another. And so Jesus says, you cannot bear it now. Because without the cross having happened, without the resurrection having been seen, without the Spirit having been given, no one can understand what all of this means. But then he promises them something. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. This isn't a new truth. This isn't a different truth. This is the fullness of the truth that has already been standing right in front of them in flesh and blood. The Spirit doesn't replace Christ. The Spirit isn't some emanation of Christ. It's not some manifestation of certain tasks. It is the one who glorifies Christ. The Spirit does not add to Jesus' words. He opens Jesus' words. The Spirit takes what belongs to Jesus Christ and declares it to you and to me. Which means this, the many things, Jesus says, are nothing other than the full meaning of Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection for sinners. And that is still exactly to this day, right on this Sunday at St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Almena, Wisconsin, is what the Holy Spirit is doing here right now. But now I want you to notice how Jesus describes the work of the Holy Spirit in more detail. He says, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. And a little bit later in this same discourse, he speaks of the Spirit as the one who teaches. The Spirit is the one who reminds. And this, my brothers and sisters, is exactly how the church has confessed the work of the Holy Spirit. Not something grounded in emotion or experience or manipulated by music, tempo, or volume. Not something that is manipulated by psychedelic drugs or words that are offered that seem to be honey out of someone's lips. It is simply what the Word of God confesses and teaches about the Holy Spirit. The great Lutheran theologian and preacher, he really was a preacher, Johann Gerhard, summarizes it in a very simple and yet beautiful way. He just simply quotes God's Word. He says, the Holy Spirit teaches, convicts, and comforts. It's a quintessential question among so many Christians that I encounter. So what is this Holy Spirit and what does he do and how can I get me some of it? The Bible says he teaches, convicts, and comforts. And this corresponds directly to the three great problems that have infected the human race since the fall to our parents, Adam and Eve. The first infection that all of us have is ignorance. Ignorance isn't intended to be a word that criticizes or denigrates. It just simply is. There are some things that all of us are just simply ignorant of. And although it's become a term of derision and insult, that's not what the word means. It just simply means you and I don't know, or more accurately in this text, you and I can't see. Paul says in Ephesians, you were once darkness. No, that's not a grammatical error. Paul isn't, he didn't accidentally leave out the word in. He said what he meant to say. You were once darkness. By nature, in the flesh, we do not know God. We do not understand his ways. We do not grasp his salvation. And if we're left to ourselves, we'll do what so many humans across this globe have done. They have invented gods in their own image. Gods that suffer from the same limitations and temptations that they do. Gods that act out in anger or licentiousness. You can look that word up, but we have a mixed crowd, and I don't want to use what that word really means. Or they erect gods of their own reason, scientific advancement. And they reduce the true God to something manageable, something reasonable, something that we can control. Deriding the true God as some sort of grandpa in the clouds. And above all, they do not understand the cross. Because if we're honest, when you look at the cross with the eyes of the flesh, it does look like failure. It looks like defeat. It looks like God lost. And so by nature, we can't bear it because we're certainly not going to follow, let alone worship, a loser. But here, the Holy Spirit comes as our teacher. He teaches us, not by new revelations floating around inside of our hearts, giving us giddy feelings and butterflies in our stomach, but through the external word, through the scriptures. Through preaching, through baptism, which is nothing more than the water joined with the word, or the word joined with the water, through the supper, which is nothing more than the word joined with the bread and wine, giving to us the true body and true blood of Christ. The Holy Spirit opens our ears to hear what Christ has done, not what we have done, not what we can do if we just had a positive mindset. We're not here to talk about us. We're here to talk about Christ. The Holy Spirit teaches us that the cross is not defeat. The cross is victory. That the blood of Christ is not tragedy. It's atonement. And that the forgiveness we have been given isn't something we've earned. Remember your catechism. I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. but that the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel. That is his teaching work. That is what he does. The second injury, the second disease of our fall is our hard-heartedness. Not only were we ignorant, not only did we not know God, we resist God. No one in this room likes to be called a sinner or told you're wrong. You're selfish, you're greedy. No one likes that. No one likes to be corrected. We do not like being told that our works are insufficient. And when we encounter those kinds of sentiments, what is our natural knee-jerk reaction but to justify ourselves? To say, no, you misunderstood my intentions. The great failing of us all. We want everyone else to judge us on our intentions while we judge everyone else on what they actually did. We want to stand before God on our own terms. We want to bring something to God and say, see, I was worthy of your love, wasn't I? Look how wonderful I am. We want to believe, and we are repeatedly told in the world, you're basically good. You're basically decent. You're basically deserving. You deserve better. And so when the law confronts us, when the law says, no, we're sinners. When the law says, you have rebelled against the one true God, what does the flesh do? It does exactly what it's doing in some of your hearts right now. It's pushing back. It's arguing. It's replaying all of the events in our mind, not for the effort of confirming God's word, but in an effort to defend ourselves. And for some of us, it even rages. No, that's not true, Pastor. I'm not that kind of person. And this is exactly why Jesus says the Spirit will convict the world concerning sin. Because sin is not just what we do. This is the big problem that so many struggle with. The Lutheran pastor is not saying you're horrible because you do horrible things. The Lutheran pastor is saying humans do such horrible things because they are at their heart broken, sinful, rebellious, consumed in the flesh. And we don't want that to be exposed. But the Holy Spirit doesn't flatter us. The Holy Spirit doesn't negotiate with our pride. The Holy Spirit doesn't compliment all of the good things before he talks about the broken and sinful things in our life. He simply convicts. He presses the law into our conscience. He shows us our sin. But he does it not to destroy us. He does it to bring us to repentance, to drive us to our knees, to surrender our rebelliousness and humbly open our empty hands to receive the gift of God's grace. And our flesh hates that. It resists. It recoils. But wherever the Spirit is at work, something else happens. Because the sinner, if they are willing to consider the conviction, is brought to sorrow. Yes, that is me. And from sorrow to confession. Father, I am a poor, miserable sinner. I confess to you all my sins and iniquities. with which I have ever offended you. It brings us to the simple and honest truth. I have sinned. This is the Spirit's convicting work. At that moment, the light of grace and forgiveness, the beauty of the gospel, restores, heals, remakes, and renews. The third wound of our fall is, first, our ignorance. Second, our hard-heartedness. Third, our faint-heartedness. Because sometimes, even when we are taught, even when we are convicted, we are still weak, aren't we? We're still afraid. We still look at our sufferings, our struggles, our losses, and we begin to wonder, I am a sinner. God must hate me. That's why I'm struggling with all this bad stuff. God has abandoned me. God doesn't really care about me. We see the cross in our own lives, and before long we have removed the Christ on the cross and placed ourselves on it. Look how much I suffer. And we don't know what to do with it. And so we're tempted to despair, to lose heart, to give up. But here also the Holy Spirit comes, this time as comforter. As Jesus says, he will declare what is to come. He will take what is Christ's and give it to you. Because he points you back, not to your feelings, not to your circumstances, but to Christ, to his cross, to his resurrection, to his promises. And even more, St. Paul says in the Epistle to the Romans, in Romans chapter 8, that the Spirit helps us in our weakness. That word helps literally means he comes and takes the weight off of you and puts it on himself. He intercedes for us. He carries what we cannot bear. He lifts the weight of our suffering and puts it onto Christ. And then he teaches us to see rightly. He teaches us to see the tribulations of our lives not as a sign of God's wrath, that the suffering is not proof of God's absence, but that the path of the Christian is the same path that Christ walked, through the cross and through the tomb. Because one cannot be resurrected until they die to themselves. And now we come back to where we began, don't we? And perhaps we get a glimpse into what Jesus meant when he said to his own disciples, you cannot bear this now. No. You can't. Not on your own. Not by your own reason. Not by your own strength. Everything that was just said from God's word today, you can't handle it. And neither can I. But the Spirit does. The Spirit teaches us that even though we can't always figure things out, the Spirit still convicts us of those very things that we can't even admit to ourselves. But don't forget, the Spirit also comforts you, even when otherwise you would be in complete despair. And he does all of this in one place. In Christ. Always Christ. Only Christ. Because, Jesus says, he, that is the Holy Spirit, will glorify me, Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit doesn't glorify himself. The Holy Spirit doesn't glorify our experiences and tell us, oh, look at the suffering you're going through, how amazing you are. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak to your inner voice and say, man, you're sharper than everybody else. No, the Holy Spirit always and only speaks the crucified Christ who is risen from the dead to us. He drives you time and time again back to Christ. So if you want to know where the Holy Spirit is at work in your life, you don't have to look for something new. You don't have to look for something beyond what is already in front of you. Look to where Christ is being preached, where sin is being exposed, where forgiveness is being given, where the weak are being comforted, where the cross is not avoided but proclaimed. There the Spirit is, teaching, convicting, and comforting. And brothers and sisters, here's the final comfort. What you can't bear, what I can't bear, Christ has already borne. Our sin, our guilt, and our death, our judgment, all of that he has carried. And now the Spirit gives you this gift. Now that you can bear it, you can also receive it. Forgiveness, life, and salvation. Y'all remember where that comes from, those in confirmation class? What are the gifts that his true body and true blood give us in the sacrament as we kneel at these rails and receive it again today? Forgiveness, life, and salvation. All of it given for you. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.